This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're very honored to have Tom McClintock, a California state senator, and one of the co-authors of the argument against Proposition 71 in the official state election pamphlet. Welcome to California Politics Today.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark.
Identify yourself a little bit by telling people where your district is.
Well, I represent the 19th State Senate District, which is a coastal district that includes Santa Barbara, Ventura, and the Santa Clarita Valley. Basically, I've got everything from the Reagan Library to the Reagan Ranch.
All right. So that's very congenial to you, and you've been elected there for not coincidental reasons.
Well, I was first elected to the Assembly in 1982.
Okay. Very briefly, we're going to expand on it, of course, in this discussion. What's your position on Proposition 71?
Well, I'm against it.
Okay. How did you qualify or end up being one of the co-authors of the ballot pamphlet against the ballot pamphlet argument against the passage of Prop 71?
Well, the opponents asked me to join in opposition, and when I read the measure, I was happy to do so. I think that it is one of the seamiest measures that I've seen in years.
Okay. The first argument that you make is that it's wrong for the state of California to borrow money to support the research called for in Prop 71 at a time when the state is in bad financial shape. How bad financial shape is the state in?
Well, we've seen a 54% increase in state general fund supported debt in a period of just 14 months. We've gone from $33 billion of debt to $51 billion of debt in just a little over a year. Prop 71 adds $3 billion of principal, and by the way, an additional $3 billion of interest to the state's financial woes.
So in fact, it will be paying $3 billion in support of this research, and the taxpayers will be paying $6 billion to retire the debt.
Yeah, that's the problem with borrowing, is the people you borrow money from generally want you to pay it back. And in fact, my experience has been they generally insist on it, plus interest. Borrowing is the most expensive way to finance any governmental activity. You pay on a long-term bond an extra dollar of interest for every dollar of principal. So this is really $6 billion out of the hides of California taxpayers. And that's not a small amount of money. Every $1 billion we talk about at the state level is about $110 out of your earnings as an average family, either as direct taxes or as tax-driven price increases as businesses pass along their burdens to you as a consumer. So you end up paying for it anyway. It's over $600 for every family in the state for this bond measure.
Okay. Now, say anything that you know about, based on your own experience or your long opposition to bonded debt here, about who will be buying this debt? Who will be getting the $3 billion in interest payments?
Well, the interest payments, of course, are made to the people who loan you the money, which are generally banks and other financial interests. So Wall Street will be making out like bandits on this. The principal, of course, is going to be doled out by a group of political appointees to deserving applicants. But you then have to ask the question, okay, well, if you're going to have political appointees just doling out $3 billion, who's going to be looking over their shoulders?
Who will be?
Well, that's the problem. Nobody's going to be looking over their shoulders, certainly not the public. This initiative establishes an independent citizens oversight committee. That's what they call it, to dole out the money. This commission's deliberations are completely exempt from the California Open Meetings Act whenever they're discussing research projects that include, in the words of the initiative, matters involving pre-publication, confidential scientific research or data, matters involving intellectual property or work product, which is to say, anytime they're evaluating research applications for which they'll be handing over $3 billion of public money.
And that's all excluded from public scrutiny.
They don't have to do that in public meetings. Anytime they're dealing with research data, they don't have to deal with it in public meetings. And since they're evaluating research applications, that pushes their entire process of deliberations underground.
Okay.
The press isn't going to be able to look over their shoulder because this commission's deliberations are also exempt from the California Public Records Act under exactly the same terms.
Well, that's certainly not going to be good for reporters.
Well, I mean, if you want to know what your $3 billion has bought, Tough luck. That's confidential.
Okay, let me ask you this. The proponents of this initiative, which they have labeled, quote, the California Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative, mm-hmm. claim that the purpose of Proposition 71 is to find cures for terrible diseases. Do you believe that's the real purpose of Prop 71?
I believe that stem cell research has enormous potential for curing or at least alleviating a variety of diseases and disorders. But I don't think this money is going to find a cure. No, I don't. And a couple of points on that. First of all, I don't understand why a state that has the biggest debt burden in the country and a debt burden that's growing at an unprecedented rate all of a sudden has a responsibility to fund research for the rest of the world. And secondly, I take particular umbrage at using the suffering of those many families who are watching helplessly as a loved one struggles with a disease or a disorder that might be cured or alleviated someday in the future by stem cell research, preying on those families' hopes and all of the suffering they're going through. My father suffers from advanced dementia, so he's one of them. And I think that's what I resent the most, using a worthy cause like stem cell research in such a tawdry and obviously self-interested grab at billions of dollars of money that's borrowed from a state that's already literally sinking in debt.
In fact, there's a possibility that there'll be cures, but there's a certainty that the people who are setting this up will make plenty of money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the folks who stand to gain $3 billion from this measure, again, it's just a grab for public money. And by the way, this group includes a lot of biotechnology and pharmaceutical companies. They've already contributed over $10 million to its passage. So, I guess that just proves that there's still attractive investment opportunities in today's economy. $10 million leverages $3 billion of payoff. That ain't bad.
Well, speaking of that investment, now, most of the people, as I understand it, who are supporting this are strong proponents of the free market and of venture capital and of having money invested in areas that show promise of yielding big profits. Why hasn't why haven't private capital markets been enough to or been able to generate the capital necessary to do this work already?
Because the fact of the matter is the same people who are sponsoring this measure don't believe it's going to find research cures. If they thought that it would find cures for various ailments, you would have to pass a law to stop them from pumping money into research. I mean, that's how venture capital companies make money. They find very promising enterprises, and they back those enterprises with money. They're not willing to back this enterprise with money because they don't want to take the risk. They don't mind working, struggling California taxpayers taking that risk and giving them the money. They just don't want to use their own money, and that's what I find really appalling about this.
Okay, now the rule has been in Silicon Valley that the people in on the takeoff are in on the landing. The people who invest the money in the new risky ventures, if they succeed, get the big payouts. Now, will California taxpayers, who are, as you were saying, be putting up $600 per family and a total of $6 billion to pay for this, what's their payout there at the end should the wildest fantasies or some part of the wildest fantasies of these proposals take place, and that there are discoveries, there are cures, there are treatments, will they be entitled to those treatments for free? Will they be entitled to the bulk of the money from the profits that will accrue on the state and national and world level of selling these cures?
Of course not. That's why they're keeping all the data confidential and secret. It's going to accrue to the benefit of the biotechnology and pharmaceutical companies that are now getting public funds. Now, the proponents will say, well, no, those companies will have licenses from this commission, and they will pay royalties for those licenses, and that will help to pay off the bonded indebtedness. Well, I get back to my earlier point. If that's the case, if you actually believe that, why aren't you funding this yourselves? The fact of the matter is, you don't believe it's going to produce an investment payoff, or you'd be using your own money. This is just a thinly veiled attempt to raid $3 billion of principal and another $3 billion of interest from the taxpayers of a state that is literally sinking in debt.
What about the ability to rewrite informed consent rules that's so important in regulating research on human subjects?
Again, I've not really gone into the ethical issues of stem cell research.
Right.
And I realize that is a hotly debated matter. I don't know enough about the technical aspects to form an opinion.
Okay.
From what I've heard, I do believe that stem cell research has enormous potential for medical cures in the future. But as I said, I don't see why it is that the most debt-ridden state in the country is somehow responsible for underwriting research for the rest of the world, and I don't understand why public monies should be doled out in a secret process that has exempted itself not only from the Open Records Act and the Open Meetings Act, but that has also largely exempted itself from California conflict of interest laws.
How so?
This commission, which will be making the decisions...
Is that the Institute for Regenerative Medicine?
No, this is the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee.
Okay.
Will be receiving recommendations from three working groups. Those three working groups, these are the groups of individuals who are making recommendations for funding,
right,
are completely exempt from the conflict of interest laws of the state of California.
Meaning they can recommend grants to their own companies?
Absolutely.
That would be convenient. Now, this is taking place as a constitutional amendment. What will be the ability of the legislature to intervene in any of these problems or activities or progress of the group?
Well, the legislature exists under the Constitution.
Right.
To change the Constitution would require another act of the people. So the legislature will be pretty much out of that process. There's not going to be any legislative oversight. And as I said, there's not going to be any public oversight. There's not going to be any press oversight. And even if there was, the people making the recommendations to this commission are exempt from the state's conflict of interest laws.
You call in your ballot argument against Proposition 71, you call it a blatant taxpayer ripoff that lines the pockets of a few large corporations. Could you name some of those large corporations?
Not off the top of my head. It's that what you will find is a number of biotechnology and pharmaceutical companies stand to gain a lot of money from this, and they're pumping in a lot of money. But like I said, not a big investment for them in the grand scheme of things. If $10 million gives them access to $3 billion of capital that no private lender in his right mind would lend them, that's a pretty good deal.
Could this be a model for other groups of investors and venture capitalists with $10 million to invest for chip research or any kind of other thing that might look good and that they could appeal to people on an emotional basis to pass?
Oh, I have absolutely no doubt of that whatsoever.
Okay. You're a conservative Republican. Conservative Republicans are often seen as good friends of large corporations. So why aren't you supporting Prop 71?
I don't believe in corporate welfare in any form.
Okay.
I believe in freedom. It's that simple.
All right. Now, proponents of this measure say that this is a quote from their position. Prop 71 is a good investment. Studies led by a Stanford University economist project that 71 will generate millions in new state revenues from royalties and new jobs, and that new medical treatment and cures can, here the capital letters start, reduce Californians' health care costs by billions. Now, there's several things here, but let me deal with this first.
Well, let me just ask you the first question.
Right.
If it's a good investment, why aren't they making it?
Yeah, well,
if there's money to be made, why aren't they investing in it? It's because deep down inside they know that's not the case. They just want the money. It's free money under this.
Okay. The first thing I want to address, it's led by a Stanford University economist, and therefore it's to be accorded some credibility. Stanford University will probably be the largest recipient of this money of any organization in the state.
Why? Well, what a surprise.
Yes. And so by appealing... by claiming the credibility of Stanford and support of a position that would support Stanford to the tune of maybe $1 billion, they're arguing that we should believe that these projections are true.
And under this measure, that Stanford economist is perfectly free to lobby on one of the official working groups of this that this measure sets up, to obtain that money that then in turn lines his own pocket.
Okay. Now, you've already addressed the issue of royalties, which I haven't been able to find any specifics about yet either, really. What about new jobs? The proponents here are arguing this is going to be a windfall of new jobs, although essentially on the same model that Franklin Roosevelt used to create jobs during the Depression by paying for them with public money. Do you think this is going to lead, and it's not clear, and if you look in their small print, they're kind of, they talk about year jobs, meaning that these are sort of temporary positions until the money runs out.
Right. Well, and don't forget, not all of those jobs are going to be in California. But yes, when you spend $6 billion of public funds, again, three in principal and another three in interest, somebody's going to be making money. And yes, you're going to, those people are going to be spending that money, and there will be a few jobs created. But the other side of that is this. All the people that that money is being taken from now have less demand for products. Every one of those families now has more than $600 less that they are able to spend to meet their own needs. Simply taking money, if simply robbing Paul to pay Peter creates jobs, well then $3 billion or $6 billion or $12 billion isn't enough. We ought to be borrowing hundreds of billions of dollars and then think of all the new jobs we'll have. At least again until the money runs out and the creditors ask to be repaid, as creditors tend to insist upon.
Right. Now the sponsors again estimate that the measure will healthcare costs in California are $110 billion annually. And they argue that as a result of the spending of the $3 billion, they'll be substantially lowered. Now, it's my superficial take on the development of medical science and the medical costs that as the technology has become higher and higher, so have the prices and the costs and the problems that people have to pay for it. Is there some way that what they're doing can short-circuit that relationship and end up with high-tech cures that cost less?
I don't argue the fact that stem cell research does hold potential for cures in the future. My problem is twofold. Number one, I don't believe that the money spent in this manner is going to achieve that. And number two, I don't believe the state of California, again, given the fact that it is under an unprecedented load of debt, is responsible for funding that research for the rest of the world.
Okay. Proponents say, quote, 71 supports all types of stem cell research. Of course, that's in caps, mm-hmm. including adult and cord blood stem cell research. Does it?
Well, again, I don't want. I've deliberately stayed away from the technical aspects of it because I am not a medical researcher. Again, from what I've read as a layman, I do think that these various research areas hold promise. I don't believe that promise is going to be achieved with this measure.
Okay, a kind of aesthetic political question here. Your side in your ballot arguments use a lot fewer capital letters in your ballot arguments than Prop 71 proponents. Is this kind of indicative of using hypes and, I don't want to say lies, but exaggerations to cajole voters into supporting their side?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of punctuation. I think it's a matter of policy. Again, a measure that takes billions of dollars from the people of California and spends it in a manner that where the people of California cannot be in on those meetings, where the press cannot ask where the money's going, and where the law can't insist that the recommendations are being generated by people who have no financial interest in the outcome. It's the policy I object to, not the punctuation.
Okay, part of the argument here is that this will establish California as the global center for stem cell research and therefore of medical science and therefore of money to be made from it. What happens if people in India or Belgium or Brazil start spending money on stem cell research and what California is doing becomes simply one among many?
Well, first of all, I doubt that they would be so foolish with their money.
Okay.
Secondly, there's no guarantee that much of that money stays in California. Some will go elsewhere.
Okay, what about the pro-argument that over 20 Nobel Prize winners support Prop 71?
Well, my guess is you can find 20 Nobel Prize winners to support any position.
Okay.
I mean, we've seen that time and time again.
Okay. What about the apparently overwhelming support of Proposition 71 by groups represent so many patients suffering from so many terrible diseases?
Well, again, my father's one of those patients.
Right.
My father is 77 years old. He requires now around-the-clock care because of a neurological disorder that we used to call senile dementia. It's closely related to Alzheimer's. I believe that someday stem cell research will alleviate or even cure that disorder. So I have great sympathy for you know, those who are looking to alleviate the suffering of their loved ones. One of those loved ones happens to be mine. But this isn't going to do it, and that's what I really resent about it, is using that suffering as an excuse to rip off the public treasury for billions of dollars.
Okay, how much biomedical research do you think the state of California should support, from zero to how much? And by what mechanism, if you think it should?
Well, again, we already do that through the University of California.
Right.
The University of California is one of the premier research universities in the country. This isn't, and the University of California's work is all done under public scrutiny. Their deliberations are subject to the Open Records Act and the Open Meetings Act. Our conflict of interest laws apply. That's where the research ought to be done, not in this group of political appointees whose deliberations on research grants are hidden from the public.
Okay, do you believe, as the proponents do, that stem cell research is, quote, being restricted by politics in Washington?
Well, I don't think there's any question it's being restricted by politics in Washington. As I said, it's a hotly debated issue in and of itself. To be honest with you, I'm still thinking it through myself. But what is crystal clear to me is that this state that is still on the verge of bankruptcy, I mean, our operating deficit this year is actually bigger than it was last year. And our debt is growing exponentially. As I said, it's up 54% in a period of just 14 months. From a fiscal standpoint, it cannot be, you know, we can't afford it. And when I look at the way they've exempt themselves from all the anti-corruption laws, it's very clear to me that that money is not going to be well spent. It is going to be frittered away on politically connected corporations that are backing this initiative.
Okay, you conclude your ballot arguments against Prop 71 by saying, quote, "This is no time to spend billions we don't have on a self-serving sham." Other opponents of the measures go further and call it a scam. Would you say that Proposition 71 is more accurately called a sham or a scam?
Well, boy, now I'd have to go to a dictionary to make the distinction, I guess.
Well, sham is kind of fake, and scam is kind of a con game.
Well, I think you can argue very effectively for both. Again, any measure that robs public money to give to private interests and then is completely shielded from public oversight, I think scam or sham both apply.
Okay, now the Proposition 71 people have $12 million the last time I looked in their campaign coffers, while the no side has about $100,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because, again, those interests that are going to gain $3 billion have a tremendous incentive to spend a tiny fraction of that getting it adopted. The taxpayers, those who will be paying the bill, well, they're diffused across the entire tax base, and they don't have nearly the concentrated and focused financial incentive to make their case known.
Okay, well, the point I want to make then is, as a leader of the opponents of Prop 71, what kind of strategies are you suggesting be used to combat that 120-to-1 imbalance in the funding?
So the only thing we can do as individual citizens, and that is to talk about it at every opportunity and to urge people to look very carefully at how this ballot proposition is put together.
I found what might be a rather unlikely source of encouragement for the no side in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding." Or perhaps a election of passage of initiatives to those with the biggest campaign coffers.
Or as Abraham Lincoln said, you can't fool all of the people all of the time.
Okay, so in terms of general strategy and any specifics, what are you going to be doing to try to defeat Prop 71?
All that I can do, and that is talk about it at every opportunity and be sure that people understand that this is not guaranteed to alleviate any suffering. It is guaranteed to impose $6 billion of new costs on the people of California at a time when their state is already on the verge of bankruptcy.
Are you worried about what might happen in October when the Yes on 71 people start running wall-to-wall ads with testimonials from families of people with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and diabetes attesting to their hopes for a cure from Prop 71-funded research?
Oh, of course that's going to have a big impact, but what I really resent about it is my father's one of those people who, as I said, is suffering. But this isn't going to help him. It's not going to help others. It's going to line the pockets of those who have assembled this measure and who are now pursuing it.
Do you know whether there will be any debates between pro and con people on Prop 71?
I'm ready, willing, and able.
Okay. That's good. You might want to do it here on California Politics Day if I can find someone from the other side.
Love to.
We're wrapping up here. Why is it important to defeat Proposition 71 from your point of view?
Well, for two reasons. First of all, the financial health of the state of California. As I said earlier, we've gone under. We are looking at larger operating debts than we had last year. We've increased the total amount of general fund supported debt by 54% in just 14 months. It's not the responsibility of the people of California to finance research for the rest of the world. Research is going to cost taxpayers over $600 for every family in the state, and that's on top of all the burdens that they already have to share as the state digs its way out of an unprecedented debt it's already gotten itself into. But then there's the integrity issue, and that is a measure that allows billions of dollars to be parceled out by political appointees who are receiving recommendations from individuals who have exempt themselves from the state's conflict of interest laws, and those deliberations hidden from the press and hidden from the public.
Well, the nature of science is supposed to be to bring truth to light rather than to put it in the dark, so we could say that the integrity of science is possibly at risk here as well.
That's true as well.
Thank you very much for talking to us on California Politics Day, and as soon as I can find someone from the Yes side who wants to defend themselves, defend their proposition, we'll get you back here and have you argue about it on California Politics Today.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Bye.